February 27, 2021, it's the Waffle Pedro Show.
Thank you. Great dude.
Watt from Pedro Show. Happy Saturday, last Saturday of the month. Fuck, one more day of the month. Start off with John Coltrane with Kenny Dorham doing Like Someone in Love. R. Scully after that with Night Is Welcome. People, Brother Matt in Love Grotto, a couple miles south here on Pleasure Point, quit in quarantino mode, but I'm not totally man alone. You might have heard a voice. Those Estonian software engineers with their incredible Skype invention. I got Brother Ryan Scully. Welcome aboard, Ryan.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. Now, you talking to me from New Orleans?
Yep.
Yep, okay. Bitching, can't wait to go play again.
We're doing our best.
Everybody's trying. I shouldn't have brought it up. Everybody's doing their best. I got to tell you, the first place I played was on St. Charles. It was called Jimmy's.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That, it's not there anymore.
No, no. We're talking about early 80s. And it was a little bit sweaty. No air conditioning.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of good bands came through there.
I think the only ones that did punk for a while. And then, what's that place on Tupelo with the Professor Longhair bust in the doorway?
Tepetinas.
They would do Mondays. And then the Tulane, the Catholic school, had a radio show called The Toolbox. And they would broadcast shows. Yeah, I was bitching. But enough about Watt. Ryan, let's talk about your journey through music. Please bring your earliest music recollection in your memory mind.
Let's see. I listened to your show, so I kind of know some of these questions. And I'm pondering this, going like, okay. I don't think music really meant all that much to me until, I think it was my brother. I think I remember a Go-Go's record, and I forget what age that was, but I just remember, him having that Go-Go's record, and just thinking it was the coolest thing, you know, just the cover. It was the one where they were all in the bathtub on the back, I think.
Yeah, I don't know the records too well, but I got to tell the listeners, Go-Go's was a band from in the Hollywood punk scene, and they actually were people from the scene. It wasn't a manufactured pop band. I saw their first gig. They did one song. The big L.A. Times music guy was Robert Hilburn, and this song was just them yelling, "Fuck you, Robert Hilburn," a bunch of times.
Nice.
And the singer lady actually was the Germs' first drummer.
Right, right. They got Belinda Carlisle later.
No, that's the lady.
That's her. Okay.
That's her. She's Valley. You know, she knew Lorna and those people. And, you know, we lost Lorna a couple of years ago in the bass, and she was great. Actually, there's a couple of people in that picture probably that weren't in the original band, like one of the ladies who started it or something. I know the drummer and the bass player got tossed and... You know how those things go. They got back together. But back to your story. So your brother's got this record. Now what house? The house you grew up, you both grew up in. Where was that?
Yeah, that was in Warrensburg, Missouri, a town of about 15,000.
Now, was this house have musical instruments inside it?
No. My dad and they listened to music, a little bit. I remember really going nuts to the Big Chill soundtrack, which I guess was big back, you know, when that movie came out, and it had that the Rascals song. What is it?
I didn't see that movie, so I don't know, but I remember Rascals.
The Rascals song. Yeah, and I just remember running around.
Well, their big hit was Good Lovin', I remember.
That was it. That was on the soundtrack. Soundtrack. And we just would run around. Just insanely running around to that song. We just play it over and over again. So I kind of remember that as being a big deal. And then that was prior to, you know, the Go-Go's thing. But in terms of instruments, we didn't really have instruments around, which is kind of strange because my grandmother, well, my dad's dad, died when he was 14, but he was a musician, saxophonist, piano player, songwriter, and he knew Irving Berlin. And, my grandmother would say that, you know, when she met him, she met Irving Berlin at the same time during the war, in Italy, cause she was in the Red Cross. She was in charge of entertainment and he was in charge of entertainment for the army. And so they met to plan, you know, an event. And so, he was with Irving Berlin, and so story goes that she said that he wrote Hostess with the Mostess about her.
Well, what about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No, well, I tried to be in the choir, and then they pretty much kicked me out because I sucked so bad. And I think I was just an annoying kid. I just remember not really trying to sing, but mostly trying to be loud, like one of those kids.
That's okay.
I want to make sure that I'm the one that's heard, but not really paying attention to what I'm supposed to be doing. So kind of got booted from that. I was in, kind of did theater more.
Let me ask you, how did you get to making music? Did you do any of it as a kid?
I did not. I mean, I did. My mom, made us all try piano lessons. And I remember having, an elderly female piano teacher and basically vowing to run away from home if I was, made to go back to this.
There was a piano in the pad?
Later on there was, it was really because of my dad's mom. She really wanted us to play because my aunt is a concert violinist, my dad's sister, and she still teaches violin and stuff. And so, but it the really, my mom had 4 kids and my dad wasn't around all that much. And so, when it came to piano lessons, I don't think it was like a big priority for her, like it's something that she wanted us to learn. But then when we rebelled against it, she's like, oh, fuck this. I'm just, okay, fine. Don't go to piano lessons.
Can I ask you because we have these nightmare stories on my show about the piano lessons. It's usually about the fucking teacher.
Yeah, it is. And my older son, who's 12 now, he takes piano lessons now from a young woman who's, who he can relate with. They talk about shit, what's pop culture shit, and, she's like, how's your week going, all that stuff. And it's not all, she's just relatable, and so he doesn't mind the lessons so much.
Okay, so it's making it more personable.
Yeah, and she's like, teaches him shit like, the Star Wars theme and songs that people know. And, of course, he learns the other shit, too, but she does stuff to make him, like what he's doing, whereas when I was taking lessons, I just remember, there was no groove to any of it. It was just, there wasn't anything that I could be like, hey, show my friends, Hey, sure. Look what I can do.
Even though rock and roll starts on the piano, not really the guitar.
That's right. They do, man. I mean, I think they should teach a blues progression first. This is how 1-4-5 is,
Right. Or at least the rhythm, like you were saying, the rhythm, the groove. Because, in the old days, like you're talking the days of the Irving Berlin and that stuff, the piano was in the fucking rhythm section.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the piano is essentially the songwriting instrument, man. I mean,
I'm trying to change that with bass guitar, but look, did you do any of the shit with anything, Alabama Sausage Whistle, anything you can compose, all right? But did you do any of the shit like after school? I mean, while you're going to school, but in the afternoon, the basement band, the garage band, the bedroom band.
Man, it's an odd thing about how I came up. I was fanatically drawn to music and underground music, where it was me and one of my buddies we'd go to Fugazi shows in high school and travel to get music, that nobody else in the school listened to, I mean, that was our thing. But it just never occurred to me that I could pick up a fucking instrument and rock, until I was in college and somebody was like, hey dude, one of my friends playing guitar in the dorm or whatever, and he's like, I got 2 guitars. You want to play this chord progression so I can practice soloing? I'm like, I don't know, I guess, And so he gives it to me. He's like, this is a G chord, this is a C chord, this is a D chord, and I did it. And then I'm like, oh shit, I'm playing guitar.
This was a big C change in your life.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, and then like the next day, I'm fucking writing songs.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I mean, it was
that's bitching. See, that's what I try to tell people what the movement was really about, empowering people to get creative.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think, what movement are you talking about?
Well, the one I got drawn into with some people call punk.
Yeah.
No, well, yeah. I laugh about that because, you know, I helped the Stooges out for 125 months. They had the same shit going on in the 60s. We just didn't know about it because of the bum rush of fucking arena rock. Ryan, I want to play Nappy Wappy.
Oh, yeah.
If you're feeling weak and you need some sleep, just take a Nappy Wappy. It's a big mistake to stay awake. If you need a Nappy Wappy, just take some time to yourself. A little sleep will help you feel well. On your bed, rest in your head. Don't go to work, take a siesta instead. If you're feeling weak and you need some sleep, just take a nappy wappy. So long, and you can't go on. Just take a nappy wappy. You won't do your best unless you get some rest. So take a nappy wappy. Your brain is running too hot. Take a breath. Slow down and stop. It's okay. Put your work away. It's best to sleep at least 2 times in a day. If you're feeling weak and you need some sleep, just take a nappy wappy.
'cause there's nothingness you call your Thank you.
Cycling should be fun. An adventure.
baby. I'm in Chicago, and it's cold, and you down in New Orleans.
For Pedro Show, start that chunk of music started with R. Scully, Nappy Wappy, then from Richard Hell and the Voidoids, Don't Die from his Destiny Street. He found the master tape to his second album, remixed and put a whole bunch of stuff with it. It's beautiful. Sent it to me. I love it. Barry Berkel Band after that, with, I think part four of his big symphony. 18, Netanya. Yeah, he's made this whole fucking piece on a leash. You know, the virtual instruments and shit. Yeah, I won't hear any excuses from anybody about anything. All right. It's beautiful. Thank you, Brother Barry. Model home after that from the D.C. area with Cheek to the Matrix. Great fucking band. Bombas Prem from the same area. These cats, last 40 years, maybe recorded 3,000 songs, did 5 gigs. Okay, there's a big archive thing coming out soon of another buttload of trove. Hans Rotten from Switzerland, you know, Percussive Loop. The demo, I guess this was going to be realized as, I don't know, the symphony, maybe like Brother Barry. Nilsson from Barcelona with No Shortcut. And people realize that. On the truth, there are no shortcuts. You got to do the fucking footwork. Finally, Andre Williams and the New Orleans Hellhounds with Hear You Dance. I think Brother Steve McKay got scissored by Andre Williams. I think they're both Baracho. But the boss, if you're going to get in a fight all Baracho, yeah, don't do it with the boss. Because he's going to end up, yeah, probably with the higher ground at the end of the struggle. So back to Ryan and your journey through music. So you got a guitar. Now, you borrowed your dorm buddy's guitar, right? So you went and got your own?
Yeah, I must have. Shit, I can't even really remember. I must have just gone right to the music store and bought whatever I could. Or, yeah, I don't even recall. I never have been a gearhead.
That's good. No, yeah, too many people let that shit get in the way of fucking creating.
Yeah, I think you might. I mean, some people, it's not about creating, it's just about the gear, but I'm
yeah,
not
that's just, what I'm saying. That's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like some kind of fetish, right? You're just shit hoarding.
Yeah. True. I never had the money to do that shit.
Yeah,
I
just thought right.
Give me I mean, I have a nice acoustic guitar, but I bought a $100 guitar for my kids, and they, you know, they couldn't play it because it's a steel, you know, I probably could put nylon strings on it, but they couldn't really play it. And now that's what I play, the $100 guitar. It sounds better. I love it.
Shows to go. You're right. So do you make a band?
Yeah, I made a band in Columbia, Missouri, almost, you know, there, you know, I just started writing songs.
Is that where you went to school, Ms. Lou?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Mizzou. Yep. Saw okay. A lot of good shows there at the Blue.
You know, a great bass man comes from there. Daryl Jennifer from Bad Brains.
Oh, yeah, he's from there. He's from Columbia, Missouri.
I think he went to school there. I don't know where he's from. You know, he ended up in D.C., of course, but
yeah.
I think yeah. He was telling me one time he's a bad bass man. Still got that bright green one, too. So, what was his first band called?
We had a band, and I had it with my little brother. He played bass, I played guitar. It was called the Attack Family.
Yeah. Tell me about the first Attack Family gig.
Let's see. My very first gig was just an open mic where we got heckled by a bunch of metal guys. But then we started playing in this little dive called the Down Under Bar. It was a basement bar. And we started playing there. The first gigs, I think, were pretty, you know, lame, I'd say. But we started getting pretty to the point where we were transcending. We were kicking ass for a while.
But that first one, what it was...
The very first gig I ever did.
No, I'm talking about the Attack Family, because I'm, you know, when you're playing with your brother in front of people, that can be a kind of tense situation.
Yeah, I think... I probably just kind of don't even, I can't even really remember it, but
well, they didn't throw you off the stage, right? That one you did in front of the metal guys, that one they heckled you. And the one,
yeah.
How did you react to the heckling?
We just kept going, man. We just kept going and kind of laughed it off.
That's what the Minutemen did. You can't believe the shit that was thrown at us. Tons of shit. I'm talking paper sacks of shit and puke, so they'd tear when they'd hit the stage. Cups of piss, fucking used condoms I got hit with. Somebody did some work. The worst was batteries, because they fucking hurt. So I'm always interested, on how people react to that stuff. One time I threw the money back, and I hit the wrong guy, so I never did that shit again. Not when, you know, the Attack Family, did they play their own material, or did you copy songs?
We did almost all originals. We did cover, I remember covering Sunshine Superman by Donovan.
Donovan, right.
We covered.
You probably did it your own version though, right?
Well, yeah, we tried to make it sound like that, but you know, we made it our own for sure. We did Waiting for My Man by Velvet Underground.
Sure.
And it sounded nothing like the original because.
But that's good, I think. If you're gonna cover somebody, twist it up.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay.
But back then, though, even if we wanted to sound like it, we were not.
Okay. So how long does the Attack Family last?
I guess I started it maybe my sophomore, junior year. So just about 2 years. And then I graduated.
Did you study music at college?
You know, I took one class and I dropped it. Okay. Because I'm like, this is way too complex. I'll get any of this shit.
What do you do music-wise after college?
Well, I in Missouri, I started studying. I went to this. There was this folk guitarist in Columbia, Missouri, who worked out of a music shop. This old guy, I forget his name now, but I took lessons from him, like on guitar picking, and you know, he taught me country songs and Dylan songs and, Travis picking type thing, you know, playing the bass with your thumb.
Flat picking, Doc Watson.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And so I studied that for about a year, and then I kind of moved into, listening to traditional jazz, and I started, you know, trying to learn traditional jazz guitar. And then, you know, I met a buddy, in Missouri. And he was from New Orleans, and he dropped out of college, moved back to New Orleans. And I was like, I want to move to New Orleans, because I've been going there. I started going to visit him for Mardi Gras. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking live here. And so and it was all, you know, basically about music. I got a history degree, but it was the music bug would not ever let me go. Still hasn't, you know. So
that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, you know, I've accepted it now, but I have struggled with it in the past.
We all do.
That's why I like your show, man, because, you know, I get to hear a lot of stuff that I wouldn't normally hear, and a lot of musicians that, you know, you play don't normally get a lot of play, you know.
I'm trying to fuck up this idea genre. I hate it.
Yeah. Explain that. What is it?
Genre, like trying to group music. Music is music to me.
I like listening to your show because it's fucking all over the place, man. And that's what I like. So I like everything. All, you know, as long as it's got some gut, man. You know.
Okay, so what happens when you move to New Orleans? Do you make a band?
I did pretty much immediately, and it was I had a couple of friends that ended up following me down. From Missouri. And so we had the Attack Family in New Orleans for about a year or two. And then we started this band called Contradelic, where we were doing country songs, but kind of weirding them out a little bit. And then shortly after that, I saw the Morning 40 Federation in the Ninth Ward. I had lived uptown for about a year or two, and then I discovered this neighborhood in New Orleans called, you know, the Bywater or the Ninth Ward, and there were these guys, and they were playing at this place called the Hi-Ho, and they just blew my mind. You know, they just had this thing, you know, it's all about drinking 40s in the morning, and they had these songs, Dumpster Juice and Mischievous, and it's all about partying, and they were very thematic, and the songs were real bass heavy with, you know, these strong bass lines, and the vocals were kind of going counter to the bass. And I'm like, this is fucking good shit, even though these guys don't know, they can't play worth shit. But the sound, I'm like, this is special. And so I asked them, I said, hey, can I can I just like shake a maraca with you all and sing backups? And they're like, yeah, man, I don't give a fuck. And so I did that. And then after a while, I ended up joining that band. And we've been together for over 20 years now.
Oh, man, bitching.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that. It's kind of like another family, right?
Oh, man, we are a total family, man. We've had our ups and downs together. you know, usually partying related, you know, but now we're in a great space and, working on records and, so that, you know, that kind of led me then, but then I also did, you know, in between 40s records, I would also do a more Americana record, because I've always been drawn, I think, from the beginning, probably from those lessons I took from that, hippie in Colombia. I love the sound of folk country, you know, old time country music. And I love the simplicity of it, but also the complexity within that. And so, you know, I like the groove stuff with the 40s, but I also get really like the Americana stuff. And so I kind of go in between back and forth from one to the other.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's what music's for, man.
yeah, I mean, it's...
I gotta tell you, Ryan, we're at the end of the first hour. February 27, 2021, Dish Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Ryan Scully. Hold tight for hour two! February 27, 2021, second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Sitting on the rooftop, waking for the we
I could see. dead drunk. She couldn't even walk. I'd have to go to the car and help my mother carry her in the house, like her feet dragging behind her. My mother would put her at the kitchen table, try to sober her up with black coffee. But she would cry and cry and cry about a baby who died. I'd ask my mother, what's she talking about? My mother never knew. When she'd finally sober up, she would cook these fabulous meals. I mean, like, just fabulous meals. But by the end of the day, she'd just be really drunk again. My mother'd bring her back home. This one time when she went home, she found her husband in bed with another woman. She went in the kitchen, and she got a knife, went back into the bedroom. She stabbed him.
Watch for Pedro Shump. Start off the second hour with Hear You Dance, Andre Williams and New Orleans Hellhounds. After that, Sam Locke Ward from Iowa City with Ill Wind, The Skies Part. Andrea Pensado, Argentine lady, but she's up in New England now, on Innocence. Crying for Kafka with She Stabbed Moses. Moist Boys with Garbage Man. I think that's one of the cats from Wing with brother Chuck Treese out of Philly. 40 Ways from Sunday, Be a Man. And finally, Meltdown from R. Scully and the Rough Seven. Who are the Rough Seven?
The Rough Seven came about, I was saying earlier, I do a Morning 40 record. And then I did this record with this band called the Charm City Brokers. And then we did a 40s record. And I put together another band called Rough Seven, which was, more Americana. But then Rough Seven became much more than that. It became a psychedelic freak out kind of band, but rooted in a folk tradition, but then having elements of it that would seriously freak out. It had, members. Rob Cambry is a
guitar man.
Yes,
old buddy of mine. I met him he was going to LSU in Baton Rouge, actually, where I first met him.
That's him. Yeah, he's in that band. This guy Stu Odom, who's also an avant musician, and Ratty Skirvix is also in it. Those three guys just on their own are make their own avant freeform music, and so them joining the band, it's kind of like, it's especially Rob Cambry. He goes, because I had a guitarist before him, and he was moving or something, and so we approached Rob and said, hey Rob, you want to join this band? And he goes, man, I don't fucking know if I could do this, because it's country, because he's just used to going, and that's his thing. And I'm like, you could do it, dude. And sure enough, man, he got the licks and he got the traditional shit down. But when it came time to really let loose, we could, and we're still together too. It's just our drummer's in New York. But he'll be back. He's Cajun. He was raised in Eunice, Louisiana. He's coming back. But when we play, we have a tendency to, not play the songs the same every time.
Right. Well, Rob, puts on his own gigs, and he's totally avant-garde world.
Oh, yeah, the Anxious Sounds.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, and that's why that band is really a lot of fun.
Well, I think part of it, too, Ryan, is you having an open mind and not. And also, you, even though Rob writes this avant-garde stuff, but he's still a little closed-minded. Oh, I don't know about that genre. That's not what music's for. It's to bust that shit down.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't think he definitely wasn't saying I don't like that music.
No, I can't do it.
Yeah, he was thinking, I've never done that. Like, he's basically like, I've never, he's listening to country and, because it is true that, a country, a real country guitarist, that, you don't become that overnight. That's, there's a lot of complexity.
You're talking like Jake Atkins.
Well, I mean, yeah, man. I mean, it's.
Yeah, I know. Or Roy Clark.
You're playing,
or something. Yeah.
If you're playing country guitar correctly, you're not playing single notes, when you're soloing. You're doing,
Chet Atkins,
triads, and and a lot of different chords.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do it. I can do, I can solo, but, I can't.
Chet Atkins could do Dixie and Yankee Doodle at the same time.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about trying to make people feel emotions, laugh, cry, rhythm, groove, words too sometimes even. All kinds of stuff. I want to play Melania's Blues from you. Personally.
Yeah.
Let's talk politics, let's talk sports, from the end boss to the red camel shorts. The power's out for the middle class. I can fix this shit, the best is trash. Burn the box, I got this. Trust your cut and your venture just.
And rule all of the world. I wanna be a fascist. I float in space, space undefined, like my undefined self. Disembodied, my voice redefined, re-channeled, reprogrammed into fingertips. I take myself into you, into me, into space. I tap myself into you, into me, into space. All is floating around, a bit like dancing. They call it surf, but I feel trapped in this net, so gently knit it takes my breath away. I remember the sea, the salt, the wind, like a caress. Somehow caring. I remember it caressing me. I remember it truly caring for me. I remember you truly caring for me. All we do now is pretend to care. To care through share. To share ourselves through multiple selves within others. That's what we do. To look for same within others, in order to refine ourselves, that's what we truly do. Make up ourselves, reflected into other selves to wave out other completely. To wave out other through an infinite loop of selves. To wave out other completely. Thoughts used to be precious ones, like other. Once we reached out to other in order to complete ourselves. Once we reached out to other in order to balance ourselves. Like salt and pepper. Yin and yang, black and white. Like every other opposite is needed in order to create harmony. Out of chaos maybe, yes, but still harmonic. From harmony to chaos, into harmony to chaos, so on. From harmony to chaos, into harmony to chaos, so thank you.
young people don't, the new generations aren't so fanatical about music like we were. I mean,
somebody was telling me the reason why music interest with the young people has gone down is video games.
You think?
No, I didn't say that, but this is what was presented to me. And I will say this. You know this big festival that used to go on in Austin called South by Southwest?
Yeah.
It did change from, like, a lot of bands to, like, half of it games. Video games.
I
don't want to blame anything on anything, because with most stuff human, it seems to go in cycles. So there's hills, there's valleys.
Yeah.
Only thing we can do is make sure the music we're doing is open enough so we don't end up repeating the mistakes of those people building the Berlin walls around. Yeah, okay.
We have control over that.
Right. And it's probably the only thing we do have control.
Yeah.
let me tell the people what we heard. We heard Melania's Blues from you, R. Scully. Glimpse Through mm-hmm. after that, Just My Thoughts. Iokoi with Bloody Life. Mika Levy with One Tear. Or is it One Tear? Fucking English. It's hard to know, right? Pineapple Empress. You got to hear somebody speaking first. With Family. Quiet Pig out of Italy with She's in Loaf. That's strange. And the guy sings with no fucking Italian accent. I wonder if he's an expat. But in Loaf? L-O-A-T-H. You stump what, brother? Fratello. Jimmy Cousins left town and Stonewall Jackson died by Mourning 40 Federation. This is the band you were talking about.
Yeah. That band, you know, out of the bands that I've been in, that band was that had the most success and continues to. We kind of pretty well known in New Orleans, and at one point we toured, and we had this circus that toured with us, I don't know. We one point, especially like right around Katrina, post Katrina, right before Katrina, around that time, we went through a period that's sort of a blur because it was, we just kind of had a little zeitgeist, where we were kicking ass, a lot of people coming to see us, and got on a record label and had the agency group as a booking agency and all that shit.
Steve Cole was with them, my booker man, for over 30 years.
Oh, yeah?
He left them, though, because some prick fucking bought the company.
Oh, and then, turned it upside down. So he said,
fuck you. He went to Nashville, and still, Steve Cole, good guy. Got him right out of college. And, you know, when you find somebody good, you stick.
Yeah.
But if they're assholes, bye-bye. And that's what he did to those people.
Yeah, well, we lost that gig. We fucked it up, basically. You got to understand, the pitfalls of being a party band. at a certain point, everybody's fine now, but I made a lot of mistakes, due to extracurriculars and being too, it was sort of like playing music for the purpose of partying rather than the other way around, or I don't know. It was, when you put that thing as the, this is our band and this is what we promote is partying, it's hard to live up to that for an extended period of time.
especially health-wise.
health-wise and relationship-wise. So, due to a lot of probably my own behavior, a lot of that, we maybe lost some opportunities. You learn from that shit. And I'm here now and I'm feeling pretty good and I'm still friends with everybody. And, so I guess it's just the way it was supposed to happen, man.
Yeah. It's trippy, but to try and figure it out. But man, I hear some people, man, I never had one regret in my life. And I said, really? Are you thinking hard? Yeah, when I read that, I'm like, you sure that ain't an airbrush? You sure a little bit? Man, you know. Look, Ryan, we're at the end of the second hour, February 27, 2021. Dish Watt Peter Show special guest Ryan Scully. Hold tight for hour three. February 27, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt for Peter Show.
Grandpa Punk. You won't ever give up. Grandpa Punk. Cause it comes from the gut. Grandpa. York to L.A., but you still come on back to the swamp, Grandpa Punk. It's a hard way to live, Grandpa Punk. When your head is like a sieve, Junk, Grandpa Punk. But you still get drunk, Grandpa. You've gone all the way from New York to L.A.
On Halloween, we had a Halloween party. Bobbing for apples. They hung lanterns on the fence. They had pumpkins, wax candles in the pumpkin's mouth. It was my son's party, Lawrence, 6 years old. All the neighborhood kids were there, and they were wild. Dogs and cats. Cats meowing and dogs barking. Kids came around dressed as witches. And guys came around with straw hats, smoking cigarettes. They took us on a bus. There was a picnic. There was music. Passed out lemonade and ice cream. Halloween party.
Wofford Pedro Show. Started off the third hour with R. Scully and the Charm City Brokers, Grandpa Punk. Then David Gerard and Gert D. Meister, A New Utopia? That's a question mark. Network Glass with 3B. David Greenberger and Prime Lens after that with the Halloween Party. And finally, Gas Money from R. Scully. Who are the Charm City Brokers?
That was a band shortly after I moved to New Orleans. This is over 20. Actually, that record, that song, Grandpa Punk, is probably about 20 years old now. But that was a band with a couple of guys who are no longer with us, Paris Nesbitt, Michael Aaron. Paris was the other songwriter. Michael was a guitarist. Me and Paris would trade off songwriting, and it was this, you know, it was an early kind of, urban country band that I was in, when I first moved here. Really great stuff. It was cool going back and listening to it, you know, when I was kind of putting together the song list for you.
Yep.
It's just great. You know, that is one of those great things about music. You know, when I listen to those songs, I feel like I'm with those guys, you know.
They're not gone. They're still living.
Yeah. I mean, they're right there, and I listen to, you know, their performances, and I'm like, man, I'm getting chills right now thinking about it, because I really miss them a lot, but I can listen to the tunes and be like, you know, like they're right there with me.
That's why recordings are important. You know, in our Minutemen days, we just thought they were flyers for gigs. But now, yeah. You know, without that's the only way I can hear D. Boone.
Right. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's. I mean, it's a cosmic thing, man. It was like, wow. You know, getting the opportunity to go back and, you know, it's important to look towards the present and the future, you know, because, you know, some people say, I just don't think about the past too much, but it's a good exercise, and healthy to, you know, as a musician to go and listen to the stuff you've done in the past occasionally.
I think so too.
Connect you with the people you played with and connect you with who you were at that time. And you know, that's why it was cool going through the stuff, trying to pick songs for you, which was not an easy thing to do. I can't even remember which ones I picked at this point, but it was great to do that, because sometimes I'm too focused on the present and the future. And it was good to go and look at, listen to my friends from the past.
Well, you know, this last one, Gas Money, it says R. Scully. And this next one I'm going to play probably current, because it's called COVID Sheets. And it's R. Yeah. Scully, too. So I'm wondering, when is it R. Scully by himself?
Well, I've done two records that are just R. Scully. One of them was Gas Money, was 18 years ago or so, a record I did. And that one, produced by Trina Schumacher. I don't know if you know her as a producer, but she recorded the Sheryl Crow's Tuesday Night Music Club. So she's got some real cred, and was awesome to work with. And so that record really sticks out. And I think why, you know, that one was not a band, because at that point I had the songs, and I'm like, I'm just gonna find the best players I can to play with me. And the mistake in that was being like, hey man, can you do this for me? I promise I won't ask you to play any gigs. and then I make this kick-ass record, and I don't have a fucking band. But you know, the players were. It's a great fucking record. And then this last one,
yeah,
R. Scully. That's just something I recorded, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, upstairs in my attic, using GarageBand and Logic and drum loops and basically as an exercise to try to go, you know, 100% DIY and just be like, okay, I can't play with people right now, so I am going to learn this shit, which I've been wanting to learn for fucking ever.
Yeah, well, it was a way of dealing with the situation. Let's listen to COVID Sheets.
Just smoke up, find some bliss. perception of what you ain't. Don't talk to me like that now. Don't talk to me like that now. You know things are spun upside down. You know we can't get together and go out on the town. So when you think about this, you know, just smoke up, y'all, and feel some bliss.
Thank you. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Children might be a mistake. As the plane took off, I let out a
go head to head. When I returned to my family, they could have been dead. They were peacefully sleeping without any fear. The tenant came by and I ordered a beer. As I looked out the window and I finished my beer, ordered another, and everything seemed so clear. Everything was in order, north, south, west, and east. But the clouds with my family in a moment of peace.
Of the clouds with my boys and my beer. Of the clouds with my boys and my beer.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Start off with R. Scully doing COVID Sheet. Ryan, I got to tell you, I've been really trying to get people that are on the show making music and put it over the air. You know, this divide that used to be in the old days, you had to go to the studio, you know, drive up to Hollywood and give somebody $1,500 for a day. No, I think musicians got to be learning how, because the stuff's more econo enough now and easy enough. Uh-huh. We can be recording ourselves.
You know, dude, it's like you can't. I cannot emphasize it enough how empowering it is to be able to record yourself. It gives you so much time, where you can go over and over something and you go in the studio and you throw down a bunch of money, whether it's $200 for a day or whatever, you're still on the time limit. So your head might not be in the right space at that time, you know, and being able to have a studio, or a computer with some mics and a MIDI keyboard, you know, you can, whenever your head space is where it should be and when, you know, you just can go do that and it flows out and you capture it, you know, which I think is an essential part of creativity, you know, because recording is also an art form. You write the song, you're not done, you know. I mean, you might feel like, I wrote a kick-ass song. I feel good. I created something that I'm proud of. But the other part of that process is, how are you going to, you know, record it? And I believe strongly that the recording process should be seen as part of the art form, and that artists and bands should empower themselves by recording themselves.
Yeah, imagine the day when, let's say, there was only a couple dudes who knew how to write, so everybody had to, like, dictate their books to them.
Yeah.
They're taking a little time to fucking, you know, learn the alphabet and some words and shit.
Like the people that are writing down the stories from the
absolute. Look, yeah. I should also tell them that we heard Above the Clouds, You with the Rough Seven, and also something from old Japan. This Kamijiyama is the name of the tune, and the group was the Yakumo Goto Society, Nishiki no Miya. And I just thought, you know, because music is universal and it's been done a long time and it's got a long way to go and it's changing and developing. In fact, like what we're talking about, where music cats are actually learning, like you said, the song ain't done until it's realized.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And Ryan, it's been a big honor to have you on the show. When you get something new, will you come back on? We can talk about it. You don't have to search for 20-year-old stuff.
Okay. I would love to, Mike.
Okay.
And, the honor is all mine, bro.
Oh, beautiful. Big love. People, it's been February 27, 2021. Dishwap Pedro. So keep your powder dry.